Good morning. It's 8464CA. Went for a wander on Sunday afternoon and I got talking to one of my neighbours. He was out the front there on his Husqvarna mower and I was admiring his mower. And I said, Swedish brand, I think, Husqvarna, isn't it? And he says, yes, it is, but it's actually made in China. He says it's not bad, but it said, you know, it's not like the original thing. It got us into the discussion about so many things, particularly made in China. And we're not necessarily talking specifically about China, but so many things that are made overseas. I remember when I was a kid, my dad's first ride-on lawnmower was made actually in Brisbane here in Queensland. There's been an ongoing issue, and I think particularly with COVID-19 and the pandemic, it's brought this issue into clear focus. More manufacturing here within Australia. Just in the last 24 hours or so, the Australian Labor Party has put forward a policy about putting Australian medical manufacturers at the front of the queue when it comes to government supplies. Let's talk about this further and join me, Queensland Senator Nita Green. Good morning, Nita. How are you today?
Good morning, Murray. I'm very well. Good to be with you.
You too. And look, I think the pandemic has brought this very, very closely and very sharply into focus. Australian made, and I guess that's why I started our discussion about that overall principle about so many things made overseas, but particularly for medical stuff, for us to rely on it here, actually making sure that local providers have the first bite of the cherry, I think is a good step in the right direction, Nita.
I think you're right, Murray. The pandemic has really shown us that we need to make more things here in Australia. And one of those key types of manufacturing that we're talking about right now in clear focus is medical manufacturing. All the essentials like testing equipment, masks, PPE and ventilators, and of course rapid antigen testing, which is the big one at the moment that people are talking about. We're 3 years into this pandemic and we're still facing shortages of some of these critical items. So Labor certainly has always backed local manufacturing, and what we've announced over the last couple of days is a plan to make sure that we can produce these medical items here in Australia so that we get, you know, first bite of the cherry when it comes to some of these products that we are still seeing shortages of across the country.
And I guess doing it smarter. I guess if we invest in our own technology here locally, it means that, you know, I guess one of my concerns about a lot of medical products is that it increases the amount of landfill. Unfortunately, there's a lot of wastage because of infection and contamination that needs to be the way. But maybe if we have our own onshore technologies with respect to some of these PPEs, tests and all those type of things, we may also be able to do it in such a way that it's, I guess, more environmentally friendly and, of course, provides local jobs as well.
Well, that's the key, isn't it, Murray? Local jobs and making sure that we have ownership over the supply and the types of products that are being produced. And that's what we get. We've got such good local manufacturers, particularly here in Cairns, but also around Queensland, who are ready to go. But they haven't had the buying power of the government to be able to invest in long-term solutions. So the two things that Labor's talking about is making sure that when it comes to what the government is buying, when it comes to government purchases, that we'll give first priority to the medical technology made in Australia. And when you're using taxpayers' funds and you're buying something that's made in Australia, you're also investing in local jobs. I think that's a really crucial thing that we're missing at the moment under this government. 3 years into pandemic, we're still not making these products enough here, not only to give them to Australians, but to create more jobs.
Now, look, obviously price is always a bit of an issue, and unfortunately just because of the cost of labour here in Australia, is that chances are that some of the products that you're talking about could cost more. But I guess for the people that invest and actually start, you know, rolling out this technology and doing that stuff here in Australia, if they've got more turnover, they can then bring prices down. So I guess that means a win-win in the longer term as well.
That's why you've got to use government buying power. The millions of dollars invested in buying all of these products, this isn't going to go away overnight. I mean, we're still going to need PPE in our aged care facilities. We're still going to need masks and ventilators for quite some time. And we don't even have enough rapid antigen testing right now, if we put the government backs local manufacturers with their buying power, then we will see this industry grow. And instead of just giving them to Australians, we'll be able to start exporting to the rest of the world. So this is something that Labor is very passionate about. But it's, can I be clear? We really can't wait until an election for this sort of thing to start happening. Mm. We'd like to see the government actually start to take some action and create some sort of supply chain for these products, because we knew back in September that people would need rapid antigen testing. We still don't have enough supply for people to be able to go out and get them when they need them.
Look, speaking of action, if I can come to the old action on climate change. And look, you know, I'll be straight with you. I was very supportive of the principle of the Morrison government's announcement on Friday with respect to $1 billion for the Great Barrier Reef. You know, I have absolutely strong belief in supporting our Queensland economy. This is one of the true icons that we know is threatened. We need to look after it. Some people talk about the site as being on a gravy train. There's absolutely no evidence whatsoever to support that being the case. But look, you know, one of the things that I've considered since I was quite happy to hear about the announcement on Friday was that it was the $1 billion over 9 years. So that does water it down on a yearly basis. But I guess when you look at some of the media that was surrounding the announcement, there was nothing specifically about climate change, because that's the big issue behind any action that we take here on the reef.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head, Murray, that it's always about the details with this government, and they're very good at making announcements and very good at flashy media ops, which is what we saw on Friday from Scott Morrison in Cairns. But when you actually dig down and have a look at the details of these announcements and have a look at what is and what isn't in there, everyone is supportive of the reef and everyone wants to make sure that it's protected. But you just can't have a credible policy around protecting the reef if you don't have a credible climate change policy. And that's what Morrison turned up with on Friday. He turned up with a press release, a big flashy media announcement, but no plan to really reduce emissions when we need to. And so I think a lot of people saw this announcement for what it was. Just trying to wipe over, I guess, the last 9 years. You talk about this funding, it's going to be rolled out over 9 years, apparently. But we need to judge Scott Morrison what he's done over the last 9 years to protect the reef. And I can tell you he hasn't done much. And that's because there's people in his government that really don't think that we need to take any action on climate change. We've already had a Liberal senator come out in the last couple of days and say that he thinks that spending on the reef is unnecessary funding because there's nothing to fix. So it's just clear that the LNP, their heart isn't in it when it comes to protecting the reef, when it comes to taking action on climate change. And I think that's what a lot of people took out of the announcement on Friday.
You know, I treasure the thought of my children and my grandchildren actually enjoying the reef, and I know firsthand that my son, he spends a hell of a lot of time on the reef, and it's his very, very special place. So, you know, for generations moving forward, it is just so important. Speaking of such things, week 37, you're coming up to week 40. People have probably realised what I'm getting at, but I should imagine it's not far away that you'll be having a child as well.
That's right, Murray, and it has brought into focus, I guess, what we will be leaving behind for the next generation. Yeah. I'm due to have a bub in the next couple of weeks, and it's my first baby, so all mixes of excitement and nervousness at the same time, and dealing with the tropical heat has been quite interesting in this 37-week period, but look, it's made me really focus on, I guess, what we are going to be doing for the future and for future generations. And I certainly want, I'm having a little girl, which is really exciting, but I want her to be able to experience things like the reef and our World Heritage listed rainforest for many generations to come.
And, you know, you certainly realise how blessed you are. Some of the experiences and some of the things that you enjoy throughout life, it's only fair that your children and grandchildren can have the same opportunity as well. Really interesting chat. Good luck over the next few weeks. Hopefully it's wet rather than hot and humid for you as you get closer to the end of your pregnancy and things start to arrive. Congratulations. Great to talk to you this morning. Queensland Senator based here in Cairns, Nita Green. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Murray.